Okay, well, tonight we're in Revelation chapter 11. We ended off on verse 15. So we didn't get all the way through chapter 11 there, but this is exactly where we're going to be tonight, and we're just going to go through verse 19. So hopefully let me see something here. Yeah, so hopefully you can read the scripture on the screen here, and can you see it over there, hon? Okay. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your word, Lord, that you've given us. And Lord, you know, just that you would instruct us tonight through your word, and have your way, Lord, with us as we rely upon you, Lord. And we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we left off, and verse 14, it says, the second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. So here's the third woe. If you remember back in, I think it was chapter 9 or 10, we after the six, or after the, I'm sorry, there was, after the fourth trumpet, it was said that there was woe, woe. In verse 13 in chapter 8, actually, it says, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Woe is never good, unless you're riding a horse, I guess, so. And you need to stop awfully quick, but, this woe isn't good, and so there's judgment coming, and we saw that in the last couple trumpets, and now we're on 15 here. So let's read together here, 15 through 19. And it says, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their throne fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there were lightnings, sound or noises, thunders, and an earthquake and great hail. So let's go back up here into verse 15. I hope, hopefully this works kind of okay. I didn't really get time to put slides together, and I thought, why do that? We can do it right off the Olive Tree app here. So the seventh angel sounded. There were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever. And of course, we look forward to that, that day where he reigns truly forever. But listen, this is the third woe that we see here. John Morris, or actually I think it was Henry Morris that said this. Henry Morris, he's since gone to be with the Lord, but he said, this trumpet echoes throughout the second half of the tribulation, is how he would put it. There was other trumpets that we see in scripture, and I just want to point them out to you and kind of hopefully show you the difference there in those. But we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. And we're going to read through 52 here. It says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. You shall not all sleep, but you shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And of course, we're waiting for that day in which we are to be changed. But it says there that there's this last trumpet, and for sure here, the Lord is in control. This is, there's a difference here between Revelation chapter 11, which, remember, now executes judgment, and this first Corinthians chapter 15 is relative to the resurrection of the saints. I think this last trumpet here is something that we will look forward to, and it will bring to the end of the church age as we know it, right? So, and also another verse that would have the trumpet there in it is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. It says, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Let me see if I'm not on the right one here. Why am I not on the right one? I got to move something here. Yeah, that's probably why, because I typed in the wrong verse. That probably would help if I... Here we go. That's better. I knew it didn't make sense. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. So I believe that's the rapture of the church. And of course, that's the same trumpet that 1 Corinthians 5 was alluding to as well. Remember, you know, when we look at the church age, we did that, right? In chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Revelation, we went through the seven churches and we saw their, in a sense, representatives of the church through the ages. These were real churches, by the way, but they really are representatives of those that are in the church age. Once we get to chapter 4 of Revelation, no longer do we hear of the church. So I believe there's a trumpet there that the church would be raptured out. And this one in Revelation happens to be, again, the one of judgment. Now, up to this point, As we've come through this, up to this point, you may have thought different, but Paul reassures us here that the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And of course, we look forward to that reign. Of course we do. That he would reign forever and ever. But one of the questions that always seems to pop up, not only with us, but in Scripture in general, about this event, you know, Lord, how long before you judge the earth? How long? And of course, right here in this, as this trumpet sounds, the right now is when God is going to do this in this chapter. When this is the beginning of all this judgment that will outflow in the second half of the tribulation. This is kind of the warning here that the second half of the tribulation is now beginning. But how long, Lord? And we see this throughout Scripture, right? So I just want to take you to a few of these. Psalm 13, verse 2 says, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemies be exalted over me?" And sometimes it does seem to feel that way, where the enemy is in charge here. You know, it seems like that. How long are you going to stand for this, Lord? Psalm 35:17. Lord, how long will you look on? Lord, do you see this? You're looking on. What's holding you back? You know, rescue me from their destructions, my precious life from the lions. And so often I think we say this, you know, Lord, how long? And it's about rescuing me from their destruction, and how sometimes we don't really have a heart for those that are lost. We have a tendency of thinking about our own life. My life is precious, Lord. My precious life from the lions. So how long, Lord? It can be kind of a self-motivated cry there, can it? Psalm 74:10. O Lord, how long will the adversaries reproach? Will the enemies blaspheme your name forever? It seems like for them it was, you know, it had went on long enough, and they were asking, how long, Lord, should they continue, you know, without you doing something? Psalm 94, verse 3. Lord, how long will the wicked, how long will the wicked triumph? Just a cry there of, you know, that, you know, you get the impression that the people that wrote these psalms, those that wrote these psalms, were quite sick of the situation, right? And certainly we can get into those mindsets where we're just, wow, you know, how long is this going to continue? You know, as we even see some of the evil in our days, some of the wickedness that is more and more popular nowadays. Lord, how long? How long are you going to wait? Don't worry. His words reassuring us here today that there's going to be this seventh angel that sounds the trumpet there, and he will judge them. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 10, And they cried with a loud voice, I'm reading this, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true? That's one thing we have to remember, is God is holy and he's true. Until you judge and avenge your blood on those who dwell on the earth. You know, I mean, I don't know if it should be even our concern when this is going to take place. We get so annoyed and upset about what's going on around us, and we're like, how long, Lord? Well, he knows the time in which he's going to come and he's going to judge. You know, really, we don't need that information, really. If, you know, the psalmist would ask it, those here in Revelation would ask it, how long, Lord? Knowing his character is holy and true, that's enough for us. We know that he is going to do as he says, right? Back to Revelation 11:16, it says, there that the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come. Because you have taken your great power and reigned, and the nations were angry, and your wrath have come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. So first they give thanks to the Lord. And this thanksgiving was that the Lord was going to take action. They sat at the throne waiting for this moment, the 24 elders, waiting for the time in which the trumpet would sound and the second half of the tribulation would begin. And look what happens when the Lord does pour out his wrath or show his great power. It says the nations were angry and your wrath has come. And of course, you know, we even see the nations angry today at the Lord, right? We see it even today. As we promote the ways of the Lord, oh, how the nations rage when they hear that. Let's look at, let's look at Psalm chapter 2. This is a Masonic psalm here. And it says, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. You know, we are God's anointed. You know, he has ordained us for a purpose, right? Each one of us. It's not just an ordination of a pastor that it's talking about there. It's talking about those that are his, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Speak of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possessions. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. So, you know, it's funny. It's, you know, anytime, you know, you'd think the nations rage because he poured out his, he showed his great power and he was reigning, you know, but God, you know, has given opportunity after opportunity here, the mercies of God, for these people to repent, for them to turn from their sin, to, you know, and turn towards the Lord. Revelation chapter 11, verse 19. I told Karen this was going to be a quick study tonight, but she didn't believe me. She never believes me, but I think it is actually. So there, then the temple of God has opened in heaven and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there were lightnings and noises, thunderings, an earthquake, and great hail. So here we have the temple of God, the temple of God. Well, I'll just show you this verse here, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. You know, it's Isaiah's vision here, and it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So, as John was seeing this vision here of the temple of God, we can go to Isaiah 6:1, and we see that Isaiah saw the same thing. So interesting here. He saw exactly what John was saying here. I'm going to just read a couple of these verses rather than turn them to him, but just mark down Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 1 through 2, and then a little bit further down we'll go to verse 5. It says, now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. Interesting there, huh? That it's the true tabernacle. And of course, they're talking about our high priest Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty. And where is it? It's in heaven. So, here in Hebrews as well, points out that there is this throne room where Jesus sits, and there is a true tabernacle there. Why is it true? Because it's obviously it's better than what we've ever seen before. It is exactly what it should be. Because why? Because man wasn't involved in building it. And I think anytime God has his hands on some ministry that he's building, we're certainly better off, and that's how it should be with any ministry, right? but it's a true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. In the fifth verse there of chapter 8 of Hebrews, who serve the copy and shadow of heaven, of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Remember, Moses was given the instructions, he was given the blueprints to the tabernacle, and the people, he would instruct the people and all the craftsmen and so forth to design it in a certain way, to fabricate things, and it would be put together and such, but it was a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. So what was going to be seen when, you know, if Moses stepped into heaven and he saw the true tabernacle described in verse 2 of Hebrews 8, he wouldn't be surprised because this is exactly what the Lord would give him, this pattern for this tabernacle on earth, you know, except that it would be much, 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 much better because it was erected by God. Hebrews 9, verse 23 through 24, it says, therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these, for Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So there's these scriptures here allude to a temple of God in heaven, as Isaiah would describe, as John would describe. But obviously that one that's in the presence of God is the true tabernacle. And what John sees here, you know, we don't want to spiritualize this. This is what he sees here is something that's real. It's not imaginary or symbolic or anything like that. It is something physical and it's real. It's the temple of God. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 11, verse 19 there. It said, and then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the Ark of the Covenant was seen in his temple. So in the temple of the Lord was the Ark of the Covenant. And this was probably... Well, it was the most sacred part of the tabernacle or the temple. This represented and was actually the presence of God for the nation of Israel, God's people, as they roamed through the wilderness, as Solomon would build the actual temple of God. With the ark, or within the ark was, as we know, the pot of manna. There was Aaron's rod, whether it was beside or in the ark. In the tablet of the law of God. However, in 600 BC, when Judah was taken captive by the Babylonians, they also took the treasures and the elements of the house of God. And of course, you can find that in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 36, 18, and 2 Kings 25, 13 through 20. However, there is no mention of the ark. The most important most costly element of the temple. Also, there is no mention of the ark when they return. When they return in Ezra chapter 1. So you don't see the Ark of the Covenant when Israel is taken captive. And you don't see them return with the Ark of the Covenant when they are issued back into Jerusalem to rebuild the wall and so forth. And it would seem, since this is a very important element, obviously, of the temple of God, this is the dwelling place, you could say, of God. This is where his presence were evident. It was placed in the Holy of Holies. Remember, and if the priests went in there and he was unclean, they would, you know, they would drag him out after he died, you know. So it was a pretty important element in the worship of God back in the temple days and the tabernacle days. There was a stretch of about 100 years that the ark was in the hands of the Philistines until David would return it, seemingly in its proper order. Now, this has been a topic of interest, I would say, for many inside and outside the faith camp. Men throughout, you know, there's been movies, right, made of it. There's been thought that perhaps it's in Ethiopia. Perhaps in the Arabian desert. When we were in Israel, our tour guide said that some of the priests actually felt as we were going through the rabbi tunnel, which goes in back of what is now the Dome of the Rock, goes in back of the Dome of the Rock. They feel, because the Muslims have charge over the Dome of the Rock, that they feel that perhaps the Ark of the Covenant is underneath that mound there. But perhaps you can ask Harrison Ford as well. Maybe he knows. There's been many a movies put out to in search of the Ark, right? But it appears to be exactly where God put it, though. And I think that is in this heavenly temple. We don't ever see it in any other temple after the captivity. We know that Herod would, you know, obviously they would return from captivity. They would rebuild the temple there. They would recondition it under Herod. He would remodel it. We don't see any thought or any think on that in Scripture that says that Herod's temple had it. Not in this temple during the tribulation period. Not in the millennial temple that's described in Ezekiel 40-48. And I don't think we'll ever see it again, personally. I don't think we'll ever see it until after the millennium, the 1,000-year reign. That's just my opinion. Because as we get into Revelation chapter 21, we'll see it again. I'm sorry. We'll see the new heaven and the new earth, and we see the holy city, the one that's set apart, New Jerusalem, right? And it says there in 21 that it's prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. But if it did come with New Jerusalem, I think its purpose will be deployed differently. and will probably have not have the same significance. And I think the reason for that, I would say, is in Revelation chapter 21, verse 22, it says this, it says, "But I saw no temple in it," speaking of New Jerusalem, "for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple." So we'll obviously have the presence of God there with us. It's not going to necessarily be, how can I say this, enclosed in this Ark of the Covenant. But perhaps the Ark is used in a different way, and I'm sure there's others' thoughts on that as well out there. And then it finishes off this verse, and there were lightnings and noises and thunders and an earthquake and great hail. So this beginning of judgment here. And remember back in Exodus chapter 19, verses 14 through 19. Actually, let's go make our way there, I guess. Exodus chapter 19, verses 14 through 19. Moses, remember, this is the time that Moses would go up. In the next chapter, of course, we see the Ten Commandments. It says, "So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, 'Be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives.' Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there was thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. But Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice." So, and this was, you know, where God was going to give him the law. But just kind of this very similar response there. As we see in Revelation chapter 11, verse 19. It's an attention getter, yes? The lightning, the noise, the thunders, and the earthquake. And just in, you know, but this time, God gave the law in Exodus. And then, of course, now he will, you know, send his judgment on those people that haven't accepted Christ. All right. Well, that's it, I think, for tonight. So let's pray. And then next week we'll look at, or the week after, next week's prayer. So only on Zoom next week. We'll get together and pray for the needs of the body and so forth. And honor the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord. Thank you for your many blessings, Lord. Thank you, Lord, as we look at this, certainly we're reassured, Lord, that we won't be here, Lord. This is something that you wouldn't subject your children to. So as you pour out your wrath upon this earth, Lord, and so we see that you will, Lord, judge the earth, Lord, because you are holy and you're true, Lord. So we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.